So thank you for being here today. Merci beaucoup d'être parmi nous aujourd'hui. Mon nom c'est Leslie Quentin, je suis responsable des communications chez SNC-Lavalin.
I'm responsible for communications at SNC-Lavalin. Before starting the process today, there are a few opening remarks. We would like to take a few moments to inform you of the security measures.
Safety procedures established as part of emergency preparedness. Comme vous pouvez le constater, cette salle dispose de plusieurs sorties de secours qui sont identifiées par des panneaux lumineux rouges. As you can see, the room has many emergency exits. These are the red signs that are backlit. Dans le cas d'une alarme d'incendie ou d'un incident majeur, les lampes stroboscopiques situées dans les salles et les corridors s'activeront. Vous entendrez ensuite trois coups d'un tintin sonore qui sera suivi par une pause. Une message phonique vous indiquera le cas et vers les panneaux lumineux de sortie, puis de quitter le bâtiment. In the event of a fire alarm or a major incident, strobe lights located in the rooms and corridors will activate. An alarm bell will then sound three times, followed by a pause. A message to the public address system will, if circumstances require, direct you towards the emergency exits, the red signs, and instruct you to leave the building. En cas d'évacuation, certaines issues vous mèneront dans un corridor de service ou un foyer. Veuillez alors vous diriger aux extrémités de ces corridors où vous trouverez les sorties de secours. In the event of an evacuation, some fire escapes will lead you to a service corridor or a pre-function space. Please continue walking to the end of these corridors where you will find emergency exits. Priez de ne pas utiliser les escaliers mobiles ou les ascenseurs. Lors d'une alarme générale, les ascenseurs publics et pour les handicapés disposent d'un retour immédiat et automatique au rez-de-chaussée ou au niveau le plus près. Please do not use the escalators or elevators. During a general alarm, the elevators for the public and the disabled will automatically go down to the main floor or to the nearest level. Les personnes à mobilité réduite doivent attendre près de l'issue de secours le plus près en compagnie d'un membre de l'unité d'évacuation du palais ou d'un membre de votre organisation. Celui ou celle qui accompagne la personne à mobilité réduite devrait contacter le centre opérationnel de sécurité en composant le 555 sur un téléphone interne qui sont localisés un peu partout sur chaque étage afin d'indiquer leur position. Le service de sécurité s'occupera immédiatement de cette personne en procédant à l'évacuation avec l'assistance des agents de sécurité ou celle des pompiers. Persons with limited mobility must wait near the closest emergency exit accompanied by a member of the Palais Evacuation Team or someone from our organization. That person will contact the Security Operations Center, dialing 555 on the house phone in order to indicate the location. The Security Department will immediately take charge of this person and proceed with the evacuation with the assistance of security guards or the fire department. Dans tous les cas, les chercheurs de la sécurité et de la brigade d'intervention effectuent une patrouille de survie afin de s'assurer que toute personne incapable de quitter les lieux pourrait être évacuée dans les plus brefs délais et les meilleures conditions. In all cases, security searchers and first responders will conduct a rescue patrol to ensure that any person unable to leave the premises can be evacuated as soon as possible under the best conditions. Une fois à l'extérieur, veuillez vous rendre à la place Jean-Paul Riopelle, la parc située à l'ouest entre le palais et le centre CDP Capital, où se trouve une grande sculpture fontaine, ou encore au complexe Guy Favreau situé au nord de Hall Vigée. Un agent de sécurité ira vous chercher. Once you're outside the building, please go to Place Jean-Paul Riopelle, the park with the sculpture fountain, located to the west between the Palais and the CDP Capital Center. You may also go to the complex Guy Favreau, north of Vigée Hall. A security guard will come and get you. These are the instructions as requested by the Palais Congrès that we share with you. For our instructions, otherwise, chez SNC-Lavalin, c'est assez simple. Les photos sont permises pendant lors de la présentation aujourd'hui, mais on vous demande respectueusement de ne pas utiliser les flashs parce qu'évidemment ça peut déranger pour les gens qui font les présentations. So photos are welcome, but please don't use flash during this presentation. This presentation will be followed by a press conference for media only. Having said all that, I'd now like to turn this over to official business to our chairman, Mr. Gwynne Morgan.
Well, bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 46th annual and special meeting of the shareholders of SNC-Lavalin Group, Inc. I now call the meeting to order. Je m'appelle Gwyn Morgan. Je suis le...
I am Gwyn Morgan. I am the president of this annual assembly. And shareholders meeting for 2013.
Or who have returned their proxy forms. It's been a tumultuous year for the company, and your support is deeply appreciated. Nous sommes ravis à tenir ça.
We are thrilled to have this annual assembly in Montreal, where the head office, the world head office of SNC-Lavalin is located.
6 years of chairing meetings, as you can see, 6 years of chairing meetings for SNC-Lavalin has not improved my French one bit. SNC-Lavalin started here a century ago as a one-man engineering office with only one client and has grown into one of the world's premier engineering and construction companies. With 34,000 employees working on thousands of projects in more than half of the countries of the world, SNC-Lavalin is beyond any doubt one of the world's most global enterprises Canada has ever produced. As you know, the company's 101st year has proved to be extremely challenging. I want to thank our 34,000 proud employees for continuing to deliver world-class engineering services as we work through this difficult period. Today you'll hear their progress toward making SNC-Lavalin's second century even stronger than the first. You'll also hear about some of our clients' extraordinary projects. We are proud to be associated with them and of the trust and support they have shown in us. Now, let me introduce the persons on the stage with me today. I'm going to be later on introducing Bob Card, and he's going to be coming up later. And Mrs. Arden Furlott is here with me, Vice President and Corporate Secretary of the Corporation, who will act as Secretary of the meeting. The notice of calling this annual and special meeting the shareholders of SNC-Lavalin and related documents have been distributed to shareholders registered in our records as of March 11, 2013. Mrs. Pina Pacifico and Mr. Mark Thompson from Computershare Investor Services will act as scrutineers for this annual and special meeting. I have received the report and confirm that the 155 shareholders are present or represented at this meeting. We have a quorum. I therefore declare that this meeting is properly constituted for the transaction of such business as may properly be brought before it. I would ask our corporate secretary to file a statement as to distribution of and report on quorum with the records of this meeting. In order to make, secretary is showing you that, in order to make the best use of our time at this meeting, I would ask you to hold your questions until the general question period at the end of the formal part of the meeting, and only registered shareholders and proxy holders are entitled to take active part. In the interest of time, I also arrange for certain shareholders to move and second the various motions of the meeting. The vote on the resolutions they put at the meeting today will be conducted by a show of hands as allowed in our corporate bylaws. We shall now proceed to the first item on the agenda. First item on the agenda is financial statements and auditor's report. The consolidated financial statements with the auditor's report thereon have been sent to all shareholders that requested them, and along with the 2012 financial report are also available to all shareholders attending this meeting. I would ask the secretary to include a copy of the 2012 financial report and consolidated financial statements with records of this meeting. We'll now proceed to the second item. This item of business is on the agenda is the election of directors. Before I move to the nomination of this year's candidates, I'd like to make a few remarks on some long-serving directors who have chosen to retire and also on our new candidates. The foundation of successful corporate governance is to recruit quality directors with needed skills and backgrounds. This is true now as it has been in the past. Last year, in addition to our new CEO, Bob Card, joining the board, we were very pleased to announce the appointment of Mr. Chakib Sabidi, a respected international executive with extensive leadership experience in the oil and gas sector. And this year, we are very pleased to present Mr. Jacques Bougie, Mrs. Lise Chapelle, and Mr. Alain Réaume for election. These individuals are each highly qualified, dedicated, and independent candidates who possess the reputation, experience, and expertise to adapt to the evolving needs of the company and its shareholders. We know they will be excellent additions to the board. If elected, these nominees will join the board as others are retiring. And on behalf of all board members, I express my fullest gratitude to David Goldman, Pierre Lessard, and Edith Marcoux, who will be stepping down today. Having served the company with diligence and commitment and integrity over many years, these directors agreed to defer their retirement from the board last year to continue to help and support their co-directors in addressing the issues facing this great Canadian enterprise. Having fulfilled my own 5-year commitment as chairman of the board, I too had planned to retire at last year's annual meeting. Instead, 2012 became the most challenging year in my 4-decade career. Now this 102-year-old enterprise is moving forward strongly under the highly capable leadership of Bob Card. And so, like my retiring colleagues, it's time to hand over the torch. I'm delighted that subject to his re-election today, Ian Bourne will be stepping into the chairman's role as a highly respected Canadian business leader. Ian needs no introduction. I want to express my personal gratitude to Ian for his assenting to my request last March to serve as interim CEO at such a crucial time. No one did more than Ian Bourne to stabilize the company and our employees and our relationships with clients and other stakeholders while we conducted that global search that led to the recruitment of Bob Card. The 12 candidates proposed by the Board of Directors and Management are listed in the Management Proxy Circular. They will serve from the day until the next annual meeting of shareholders or until they cease to hold office. All except for 3 are currently directors of the corporation and have been directors since the respective dates specified in the Management Proxy Circular. I'd like now to introduce all 12 candidates and ask that each person please rise when your name is called. From Montreal, Quebec, Mr. Jacques Bougie. From Calgary, Alberta, Mr. Ian Bourne. From Montreal, Quebec, Robert Card. From Kilimanjaro, Virginia, Patricia Hammock. From Montreal, Lise LaChapelle. From Toronto, Lorna Morrison, who couldn't be with us today because she is serving as vice chairman of another board that is having its annual meeting today. From Montreal, Quebec, Claude Bonjou. From London, United Kingdom, Michael Parker. From Quebec City, Alain Rayoum. From the United Arab Emirates, Mr. Chakib Sabidi. From Ottawa, Ontario, Eric Siegel, and from Toronto, Lawrence Stevenson. I would now ask Ms. Louise Peltier to make the director nominations.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Louise Peltier. I'm a shareholder of the corporation. I nominate for election as directors the 12 candidates proposed by the Board of Directors and Management, whose names are shown in the Management Proxy Circular, until the next annual meeting of shareholders or until they cease to hold office.
Thank you. Pursuant to the terms of the corporation's advance notice bylaw, no other nominations are permitted at this time. Since there are 12 directors to be elected and we have 12 candidates, I will now entertain a motion to elect the nominees. Nicoletta Panousis is going to make this motion.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Nicoletta Panousis. I am a shareholder of the corporation and that the 12 persons who have been nominated be elected to serve as directors of the corporation until the next annual meeting of the shareholders or until they cease to hold office.
Thank you. And would Ms. Catherine Marcanis, would you please second the motion?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Catherine Marcojanis, and I second the motion.
Thank you. And all in favor, please raise your hand. Against? I declare the motion carried. In view of the results of the votes, I declare the 12 candidates nominated at this meeting have been duly elected directors of the corporation until the next annual meeting of the shareholders or until they cease to hold office. We'll now proceed with the third item. This item is the appointment of auditors, of the auditor of the corporation, I should say. You've been informed in the management proxy circular of the board of directors' recommendation that Deloitte LLP be reappointed as the auditor of the corporation. I believe Mr. Danny Liu has a motion on this matter.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Danny Liu. I am a shareholder of the corporation. I propose that Deloitte LLP be appointed as the auditor of the corporation to hold office until the next annual meeting and that the remuneration be fixed by the board of directors.
And do I have a seconder for this motion? Vladimir Simone? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Janet O, and I second that motion.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor, please raise your hand. Against? I declare the motion carried, and I confirm that Deloitte LLP has been duly appointed as the auditor of the corporation until the next annual meeting of shareholders. Now for the fourth item on the agenda. We'll now consider a resolution, the text of which is set out in page 12 of the Management Proxy Circular dated March 11, 2013. On March 8th of this year, the Board adopted the Advance Notice Bylaw. In brief, the Advance Notice Bylaw allows the corporation to receive adequate prior notice of director nominations as well as sufficient information on the nominees. It also facilitates an orderly and efficient meeting process. Among other things, the Advance Notice Bylaw fixes a deadline by which shareholders must submit a notice of a director nomination to the corporation prior to any annual or special meeting of shareholders where directors are to be elected, and sets forth the information that a shareholder must include in the notice for it to be valid. Management and the Board of Directors of the corporation believe that the Advance Notice Bylaw provides a clear process for shareholders to follow to nominate directors and sets out a reasonable time frame for nominee submissions along with a requirement for accompanying information, allowing the corporation and the shareholders to evaluate all nominees' qualifications and suitability as a director of the corporation. To be adopted, this resolution to ratify the advance notice bylaw must be approved by a majority votes cast at the shareholders' meeting. Would Ms. Christina Costi please present a motion on this resolution? Is Christina Costi here? Oh, there she is. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Nicoletta Penosis. I'm a shareholder of the corporation. I propose that the shareholders adopt the resolution to ratify the advance notice bylaw found on page 12 of the corporation's management proxy circular delivered in advance of the 2013 annual and special meeting of shareholders of the corporation.
Thank you, Nicoletta, for saving me there. Can I have a seconder to the motion?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Elizabeth McDougall. I am a shareholder of the corporation, and I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Against? I declare the motion carried. I hereby confirm that the resolution ratifying the adoption of the advance notice bylaw has been duly approved and confirmed by a majority of the votes cast at this meeting. Now, for the fifth item on the agenda, we're going to consider a special resolution, the text of which is set out in pages 12 and 13 of the management's proxy circular dated March 11, 2013. In brief, this special resolution would enable a corporation to amend its articles of incorporation in order to allow the board to appoint one or more additional directors between annual meetings, subject to the total number of directors so appointed not exceeding one-third of the number of directors elected at the previous annual meeting of shareholders. This is a procedure contained in the articles of most publicly listed CBCA corporations in Canada. To be adopted, the special resolution must be approved by not less than two-thirds of the votes cast in its favor by the shareholders in person or represented by the proxy of this meeting. Could I have a motion for this, a mover for this motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Giuliano Belmonte. I am a shareholder of the corporation. I propose that the articles of incorporation of SNC-Lavalin Group be amended and the special resolution found on pages 12 and 13 of the corporation's management proxy circular be approved so that the corporation may appoint additional directors in between annual meetings, subject to the total number of directors so appointed not exceeding one-third of the number of directors elected at the previous annual meeting of shareholders.
Thank you, Mr. Belmonte. Could we have a seconder for that motion, please?
Monsieur le Président.
Well, we're not really saying we are planning on appointing new more directors, but what this is all about is, as I said, something that's contained in the articles of almost of the corporations, public reporting corporations in the country. There are times, for example, this year, where we were able to attract Shakib Sabidi to come on our board. He's a well-known international person, and we were really happy to have him. And this gave us the opportunity to do it last year. All this does is confirm into our articles that we have the ability to add up to a third of the directors that are been nominated. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Monsieur le Président, mon nom est Guy.
Mr. President, I am Guy Saint-Pierre. I am a shareholder of the company. I will second the motion that has been presented.
Could I have everyone in favor to raise their hands, please? Against? I think the motion is carried. I hereby confirm that the special resolution authorizing the corporation to amend its articles of incorporation in order to allow the board to appoint one or more additional directors to be between annual meetings is carried, subject to the total number of directors so appointed not exceeding one-third of the number of directors elected at the previous annual meeting, which, of course, is this one right now. And shareholders have been duly approved and confirmed by more than two-thirds of the votes cast at this meeting. Now for the sixth item. We'll now consider a resolution, the text of which is set out in the page 15 of the management proxy circular. In brief, this resolution is to approve the 2013 stock option plan of the corporation. Under the plan, the total number of authorized and unissued common shares available for options is equal to 3.2 million. And the options that were made available under the 2013 stock option plan to key employees of the corporation and its subsidiaries and other entities in which the corporation has an equity interest. A full description of the stock option plan is provided on page 13 of the management proxy circular. To become effective, the resolution to adopt the 2013 stock option plan must be approved by not less than a majority of votes cast in its favor by the shareholders in person or represented in proxy at this meeting. Would a shareholder propose the adoption of this resolution?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Pascal Morissette. I am shareholder of the corporation, and I propose that the resolution appearing on the page 15 of the management proxy circular be adopted and that we dispense from reading it.
Thank you, Mr. Morissette. Could I have a seconder to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Florette Sidney. I'm a shareholder of the corporation, and I second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor, raise your hand, please. Against the motion? The motion is carried. I declare the resolution approving adoption of the 2013 stock option plan has been adopted by the majority of votes cast at this meeting. We'll now proceed to the seventh item. We'll now consider a resolution, the text of which is set out on page 16 of the management proxy circular. And in brief, this resolution is to adopt a non-binding advisory vote on executive compensation. To become effective, this resolution must be adopted by not less than a majority of votes cast in favor by the shareholders at this meeting. Could I have a mover for this motion, please? For this resolution, I should say.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Martina Krumann. I am a shareholder of the corporation. I propose that, on an advisory basis and not to diminish the role and responsibilities of the Board of Directors, the shareholders accept the approach to executive compensation disclosed in the corporation's management proxy circular delivered in advance of the 2013 annual meeting of shareholders of the corporation.
Thank you very much. Could I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Diane Shah. I'm a shareholder of the corporation, and I second the motion.
All in favor, raise your hand. Against? Motion is carried. I must say that this motion is something that is becoming best practice in Canadian corporate governance, and we're pleased to be adding it to our own practices. I hereby confirm that the resolution approving the adoption of a non-binding advisory vote on executive compensation has been duly approved and confirmed by a majority of votes cast at this meeting. As there is no other business to come before the meeting, and before we proceed to general question period, I would ask Mario Lecalder to move that the formal part of the meeting be concluded. I think it's Caldera. Okay, Lecalderay.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mario Lecalderay. I am a shareholder of the corporation, and I propose that this meeting be concluded.
Thank you. Could I have a seconder to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Joanne Poitier. I'm a shareholder of the corporation, and I second the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Poitier. All in favor, please raise your hand. Against? The motion is carried. I declare the formal part of the meeting ended. We'll now move into the informal part of the meeting. And first, I will discuss actions taken by the board over this past challenging year. And as retiring chair, offer a few personal perspectives. Then we'll move from the past to the future. Bob Card will tell you about the progress made during his first 7 months on the job and the strategic potential he sees at SNC-Lavalin. After that, shareholders will get their chance to ask us questions. First, a few words about the past year or so, recent past of 16 months, I guess it has been, since the board became aware of the troubling matters that shareholders are now all too familiar with. The board's actions were decisive, including having the Audit Committee commission an immediate and thorough independent internal review that revealed very difficult circumstances and led to some of the most important and time-urgent actions any board has had to make. The results of that independent review were made public in March 2012, and together with all other information we found, was turned over to the authorities. Even now, the company continues to collaborate with their efforts. As a board and as a company, we remain unequivocal that no unethical behavior or illegal acts must ever be tolerated. My comments about these events wouldn't be complete if I didn't address this fundamental governance question. Why didn't these errant behaviors and actions come to the board's attention earlier? This question is as perplexing to board members as it must be to shareholders and employees. Over my career, I've been founding CEO and director of one of the Canada's largest companies and a director of four other major global firms. Yet no board I've worked with has exercised their duties more diligently than the board of SNC-Lavalin. So the answer to the question is as clear as it is unsettling to all involved in corporate governance. When a small number of people deliberately set out to falsify documents, it can be exceedingly difficult to detect, even with good controls in place. This has also been shown to be true at other major corporations around the world, and you've read many of those stories, I'm sure. But should this basic reality cause shareholders to worry that such events could happen again at SNC-Lavalin? I think not. Lessons have been learned, resulting in the implementation of robust ethical, cultural, and compliance measures. This has been widely embraced by the proud and determined people of SNC-Lavalin. It is they who will make sure that such events never again happen at their company. And speaking of those proud people, it is said that some are destroyed by adversity while others rise up to overcome it. The people of SNC-Lavalin are clearly in the latter group. Indeed, over the past year, our 34,000 employees overcame very significant challenges, retaining the trust of clients and continuing to win important projects, ending 2012 with a healthy backlog that bodes well for the future of the firm. Their accomplishments in the face of adversity are a reflection of a long record of achievements, including those I witnessed over the 6 years that I've had the privilege of serving as chairman. It's crucial that we do not lose sight of those accomplishments. Since 2007, despite a major recession, the company's annual revenues have grown from $6.7 billion to $8.1 billion, and the backlog has risen to over $10 billion. Over 14,000 new employees have been joined around the world, both through strategic acquisitions and a successful drive to recruit the best and brightest in the industry. The company has significantly strengthened its operations in key regions, which have expanded our footprint in rapidly growing areas such as South America. And of course, as an engineer, it's the amazing projects that SNC-Lavalin has completed during my tenure that I'm most proud of. Here is a sample of some of them. In the mining and metallurgy sector, the Ambatovi Nickel Project in Madagascar has strengthened the country's economy and raised the living standards of its citizens. The EMAL Project, the United Arab Emirates, is one of the largest single-site aluminum smelters in the world, and it's been a remarkable budgetary scheduling, safety, and environmental success story. In the oil and gas sector, our engineers have established a reputation for excellence in the offshore production jacket design and construction. They also proved their expertise in the growing liquefied natural gas industry, designing and constructing a major terminal in the New Brunswick area for Canaport LNG. In the infrastructure sector, projects like the Canada Line in Vancouver and the Calgary Light Rail Transit are landmark achievements which will leave indelible impacts on those cities. And just to show that engineers do have an artistic side, SNC-Lavalin designed and constructed the remarkable OSM Concert Hall right here in Montreal. In the power sector, a combination of the company's nuclear group with the experts brought on board through the acquisition of Atomic Energy Canada have made SNC-Lavalin one of the world's foremost experts in nuclear power. The power group also strengthened their position as a leader in thermal power plants. In the renewable area, the company entered the geothermal sector with an absolutely remarkable project in New Zealand for contract energy. And huge projects in British Columbia and Newfoundland continue to illustrate the company's decades-long leadership in hydropower. The company's build, own, and finance and operate strategy has led to major expansion of the infrastructure concession investment portfolio over the last 5 years, becoming a major strength, unique among engineering and construction companies. These projects exemplify how SNC-Lavalin employees continue to serve clients with diligence and integrity in 100 countries. They understand the responsibility of the public, a responsibility which includes learning from the past in order to better serve in the future. The most important task our board could undertake was to recruit a new CEO with the experience, track record, strength of character, and ethical values needed to deal with their weaknesses and build on the strengths of the company. Following a global search, we found such a person in Bob Card. Bob is one of the engineering and construction industry's most respected and accomplished leaders. In the months since its October 1st start, Bob has reviewed and strengthened the corporation's ethics, safety, and compliance programs and enhanced its risk management processes. He has recruited world-class operational, financial, and compliance executives. And as you are about to hear, he's already focused on a vision for moving this most global of all Canadian companies forward into an even stronger second century of accomplishment. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to introduce to you Bob Card to make his first address to the shareholders of SNC-Lavalin.
Thank you, Gwen. I think, as you know, one of the key reasons why I considered to take this job when I got the call was the fact that you were chairman and the terrific track record you had when I was at the U.S. Department of Energy and you were heading in Canada. Also, it's great to be able to meet many of you here today, and particularly the iconic former leadership of this terrific company. So an unexpected surprise, and thank you for all of you for attending today. Bonjour, il me fait plaisir d'être ici aujourd'hui.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here for my first annual assembly as president of the company. I'm sorry, but I will continue in English because I still need to work my French.
Required reading for all of us, and I've been advised by my lawyers that this will be my last slide of the presentation. Just kidding, I couldn't help it. So, I want to start by saying, as I said when I arrived here on the 1st of October, 7 months ago, there was a number of things that really excited me about this company that caused me to make the decision to come here, and I'm really thrilled that I did that. And they still exist. So you see before you just a sampling of things, but as Gwen said, we are a rare company in being able to offer a full spectrum of services from project finance, engineering, construction, operations. We're a leader in several key markets. We have a strong financial position, $10 billion of assets, investment-grade credit. Again, our financial position, very rare in our competitive peer group. 34,000 great employees operating in a global footprint. A leader in several key geographies like Latin America, and 10,000 active projects and the great clients that come with them. And then on the other hand, in addition to that great foundation, I saw a lot of terrific opportunities because the firm had got to where it is without doing a lot in some key markets like oil and gas, environment and water, U.S. and other key geographic markets. And I think what this company can be and where we can take it when we achieve excellence in ethics and compliance, project delivery, safety. We become one company rather than eight companies and on a globalized platform. I'm going to split my talk today into two components. One, about the here and now. You know, what have I found? What are we doing about it? And then about strategy. So I have to begin with ethics, which is my top 10 priorities. I want to start that by saying I've had the chance in 7 months to meet lots of SNC-Lavalin people, and I could say based on that that all 34,000 would be right at home in the world's most ethical companies. This is a compartmentalized issue. We can solve it. How are we going to do that? Well, we start with governance. We have a new CEO. We have a substantial new team at the top. We have new reporting relationships to me and the board of directors. We have a host of new policies and procedures dealing with things like agents and representatives, in addition to trying to minimize them altogether. New functional reporting within the business units to ensure that we have a compliance reach deep into the organization. New controls and guidance on political contributions, donations, and charitable contributions. We've trained 100% of our employees, and they've all signed up for this as a condition of employment. And I'm going to talk about our hotline investigations in a minute. We made numerous accounting and control procedure improvements. You can compartmentalize ethics into two parts, detection and prevention. Detection, we want to make sure that we learn as much as possible about the past to inform our compliance strategy moving forward, and that if anything should happen in the future, we find it quickly. So we continue our cooperation with the authorities, for which we're very grateful. Thank you. And we've more than doubled our internal audit investigation capability in addition to robust external capability. We've established a hotline, and importantly, we've worked on our reporting of the hotline issues so that each person who reports into the hotline, or to me or Andreas or anybody in the company, knows it'll be treated confidentially and it's going to get action. On the prevention side, we have a compliance plan, which we've benchmarked against the best in the world. So we think it sets us up for ethics excellence. We've enhanced governance advice, I mentioned earlier. We have a new system that we're developing for partners and the supply chain to make sure that not just we are ethical, but our environment that we operate in is ethical. And we have enhanced risk procedures and new systems and tools. So you might say, with all that's happened, what has the impact been on the company? I would say, well, for sure, it's the cost and the management distraction have been major. Huge is numbers that come to mind for me. But in spite of that, because of the great people around us, employees, clients, and others, we've been able to retain financial strength. So you can look at our numbers and say the general economy could have produced the same result as the province. We've been lucky. Our key, and I think the reason is our key stakeholders believe this is limited and fixable, and we have their trust and respect, and that we're on the right track. I certainly believe it's limited and fixable. So in conclusion on ethics, our general approach is to put this behind us. You read a couple weeks ago that we reached a settlement with the World Bank. We are pleased to have done that while we would rather not be in the position of needing to, because we want to engage all of our stakeholders and resolve the issues so we can say this is not an issue for anybody in SNC-Lavalin anymore. That's in that context. And then we want to ensure ethics excellence in the future. We're not settling for just good enough. We want to be outstanding. Another important area to us and me personally is safety, because I think safety represents a lot about culture of a company and its overall management capability. While we're much better than the industry average, we're committing to improve our safety performance. You can see by this chart that SNC-Lavalin's injury rates are around 10% of the industry average, but that's not good enough for us. You'll notice that in 2010 through 2012, we had a rising injury rate. That's uncomfortable. We think we've turned the corner on that, but we want more, and we want improvement faster to protect our people and people who use our facilities. So what are we doing about that? We're improving and enforcing our safety system. I am personally engaged in every accident issue in the company and safety. Line management is accountable in organization for safety. They have terrific support from our safety team, but we've not delegated safety to our safety team. We are improving our approach to challenge projects so we do a better job there, and we operate all this from the principle that all accidents are preventable. Now let me move to financial performance. As Gwen said, given what's happened to the global economy in the last 4 years, if you look at the graph on the left, that's pretty impressive. Well, in the middle, the gross margin has improved not nearly enough. That should be ideally at least mirroring the revenue chart, and it isn't. As I've mentioned, a big part of that is our issue about effective delivery of some of our major projects. Also, we can do more to migrate to better margin opportunities. And then on the far right, SG&A is growing too fast. We can lay that some of that off to acquisitions where we bought SG&A and the ethics issue, but that doesn't solve the problem. So we're committing to do something about that. The result of all of this is not great news for the shareholders, so thank you for being here and staying with us. I'm presenting this to let you know that we know that, and we intend to get back. So what are we doing about that? Our number one priority is project delivery. We're lucky that even in this economic climate, we have all of the work we need to do a great job in-house already. We just have to get it to the bottom line. But in the future, we've got to start working now to improve our business mix and margin potential and to become more effective and efficient at SG&A. Now I'd like to turn to the second part, which is our strategy. And that's the exciting thing for me, because when I looked at this company, I said, this is a company that can be a winner in the global race that we're involved in. And so what have we done? Over the last 7 months, and actually it got started by Ian, thank you Ian, before I arrived, we've done a lot of analysis inside the company. The board's been heavily involved, as you would expect. We have a team of great financial advisors looking at various options, and with some of the best strategy consultants in the world have been helping us, plus industry insiders, of which we have a few like me and Neil Bruce inside the company now. We've taken that team and we've done out-of-the-box testing to look for wild and crazy ideas where we even thinking we were in the right business, just to make sure. We looked at the economics and the market trends, and what the competitors in our industry were up to, and we developed scenarios to test those. Before I talk about where we want to go, just a couple of slides to sort of set the stage. In terms of the market context, I really like being in this business and being in a company like SNC-Lavalin because the world needs us. And it needs us because there are billions of people trying to move from poverty to middle class. And it has unbelievable implications in resource and infrastructure space. To give you an example, currently China consumes 30 to 40%, more in some cases, of global commodities. Yet the Chinese consumption of those commodities is only 10 to 20% per capita of what it is in North America. That's going to create huge tension, and we're right in the middle of that. And then if you go to the developed world, all of you in this room want to go places faster, better, cheaper, safer, with lower carbon footprints. You want more leisure opportunities. You want a better environment. You want improved health care. You want more security. All of that requires materials and infrastructure. So we think that there's a lot of opportunity for us in that equation. And then we look at governments we know are running out of money, but infrastructure demands continue. And they're going to need private investment to make that work. And we're a rare company in that we're really good at that. But we're also reminded that the overall global economy will continue to be soft in the near term. So what's our industry up to? We're in a period of rapid consolidation and globalization. Used to be, when I was a junior engineer, the world was partitioned up into hundreds of different pieces and you didn't see the same people from one place to another. Now, when we're competing for a mega project anywhere in the world, it's going to be the same players that are going against us with the same strategy. And all those players are trying to grow in three axes. They're trying to cover more territory, they're trying to expand their service offering, and they're trying to serve more markets. And we're lucky because we're pretty good in a lot of these already. And in addition to that, they're all working hard at reducing their direct and indirect cost. So we've got to work on all of that in order to be successful over the long run. So what do we have in mind? Well, you've probably read this in some of the signals we might have given off in our recruiting efforts, but we see resources as a key platform for growth into the future. Oil and gas, mining and metallurgy, and the environment and water business that supports that important client base. Oil and gas has large projects, and if you're in the right position, high and stable margins with good clients, good ethical clients, and challenging clients that when you work for them, demand the best and they build strength for your other businesses. But those benefits are only available with scale. Mining and metallurgy, we have the scale there. It's similar. But we recognize it's got deeper cyclicality on both the upside and downside, and we think we can manage that. And environment and water, we've got a good start in. But that's an important critical ingredient for the license to operate for resource clients, which are the biggest clients in the world for this business. And we think we can do much more there. And because it has a higher technical component, it tends to have higher and more stable margins. Underpinning all of that are two markets that are historically really important for this firm and we're really good at and provide a stable platform underneath all of that. One is clean power and the other is infrastructure. So when you look at clean power, we are a market leader in virtually every segment of the power industry. Particularly T&D is interesting where we're a clear leader in that and it will continue to grow worldwide as there's discontinuities between load centers and renewable energy. Nuclear, as Glenn mentioned, has very high entry barriers. There's only a few players in that. There's a good sustaining business there, but there's also very big upside if you're able to win one of the few new nuclear projects, and I like our opportunities. Hydro is kind of a bedrock activity for this company, and we're a market leader clearly here in Canada with worldwide potential. And our clean gas group is positioned to benefit from coal to gas conversion. On infrastructure, we've demonstrated a competency in winning and doing the major complex projects or groups of projects. with our P3 or investment competitive advantage, and particularly in transit systems where I see a global opportunity. As the world grows, it's got to move to rail. And having lived in the UK, which is a rail-centered economy, you can see how that works when it's all put together. We have strong capability in other transportation areas that we can grow. And furthermore, as Neil Bruce has observed coming in from another company, this part of our business is important to the other part of our business because all of those resource activities need huge amounts of infrastructure to work, and we're able to provide that in a closed-loop system. And we also have opportunistic, high-tech, vertical capability like in healthcare. So where in geographies do we think we should take a look? Well, we're committed to a worldwide platform. Otherwise, we won't succeed. We won't be sustainable. But initially, we see two areas of strength. When I go to the couple conventions a year of people in my peer group, they vote on what areas are the most attractive. And Canada and Latin America have come up 1 and 2 in the last 5 years. We have to be unusually strong in both markets. Over 6,000 people in Latin America are one of the biggest providers there. So that's an obvious place to start, but we got to keep an eye on the U.S., a market very familiar to me because the energy boom is driving a lot of activity there. Africa is the new frontier. We have a good footprint there, much better than average in our industry. Middle East continues to be very important, an important hub activity. We have a big footprint in Europe with lots of interesting projects in spite of an overall unfavorable economy. And Asia Pacific, which in my 37 years is the hardest single market to really penetrate well, we're viewing as opportunistic for now, but we're not going to ignore it. In terms of services, we want to stay with and leverage our ability to deliver cradle to grave in this business. I'm going to spend more time on ICI and finance later, but we'd like to see growth in our services and engineering business, which is what our founding business was. We're regarded as excellent engineers, and we think that we can improve our ability on the front end, the very front end of projects and the higher technical role there, and we can find better margin opportunities in that business. Packages is still critically important, or construction, to our clients. They worry as much about this as anything. So we're committed to this, but it's all about risk management to make sure that what we bid falls to the bottom line. So we're going to work on that. And O&M and sustaining services is a way to stay permanently close to our clients on a long-term, stable relationship with opportunities to migrate into the higher margin activities by increasing the technical content of the work that we do. The ingredients to get all this done are in the growth enablers, and I won't go through all of them with you, but they're based on aspects of our efficient operating model that we're working on with things that we've talked about already, world-class project execution, client service, more high value, cost and scale efficiency, better project delivery and quality. And of course, we're a people business. We're 34,000 people, and we need to recruit and retain the best and brightest, do better at employee engagement, training and development, and with better systems and tools. Now, because there's been a lot of interest in ICI, I wanted to spend a special amount of time on that. In December, we announced that under the leadership of Gilles Lairmet, we were going to take a dedicated, hard look at the role of ICI and our investments in our business. And not surprisingly, we found that it was pretty important, particularly during this time, providing financial stability and underpinning our investment-grade credit rating, also a rare thing in our industry. It's also generated significant opportunities in the E&C business. And you can see here on the left the balance sheet implications of ICI, and on the right the income statement have been very attractive and large. Those are just two projects there. So what we resolved to do is look to how we could best optimize those assets and that business for the long-term benefit of the company and you, our shareholders. So four findings. First, based on recent consultations, actually we've had ongoing consultations, with the best people we could find to help us financially understand this, we have been told that the ICI assets are consistent with the consensus estimates of our analysts, meaning that we believe these assets are fairly priced within SNC-Lavalin. Secondly, the ICI business model has long-term potential and should be continued. We're in this business to stay. However, it does not require all of the assets we currently have to be successful. It needs to have a more disciplined approach to employing capital and more focus on the exit strategy at the investment decision. And we've learned that they have enhanced the ENC business. We believe that many major stakeholders of the company and shareholders value the stability ICI provides, as you saw in the financial charts. And therefore, we believe that during this less certain time that we're going through right now, it's important to maintain that stability. However, during this time, there are several smaller assets that are no longer strategic or key to underpinning that stability that we can do things with earlier. Fourth, that the principal assets are very attractive to potential partners. We're evaluating portfolio turnover strategies, including alternatives and timeframes to manage the investments for the company's long-term benefit, and we're evaluating a variety of options other than outright sale, which may have more benefit to the company. So what are we going to do? First, we're going to view ICI as a catalyst for the ENC business. That's its role in SNC-Lavalin. And we're going to primarily target then greenfield opportunities, but we will look opportunistically at brownfield. We're going to employ a more disciplined approach to capital. We're going to exit at maturity unless strategic considerations justify otherwise. We're going to balance how it's employed, looking at the impact of our credit rating and the financial flexibility. And we're going to consider potential disposal of non-core assets in the near term and reconfiguration of principal assets in the medium term. So in summary, on our strategy, we see transformational growth to become a global resource sector leader, develop multiple opportunities in environment and water, achieve sustained growth in clean power and infrastructure, focus on Canada and Latin America initially, but commit to a global platform, and continue to leverage our unique full spectrum of services. And how we're going to do that is we're going to become excellent in ethics and safety. We're going to emphasize project delivery improvement. Then we're going to move to margin improvement and SG&A efficiency and effectiveness, improve our marketing and positioning capability, and complete our global operations in one company initiative. And that will lead to the active management of our ICI assets and seeking out and completing the key transitions to execute the vision. So I'm pretty excited about that. I hope you are. I'm looking forward to getting it done. And I want to thank you. I want to thank the employees, the clients, and the shareholders and partners of SNC-Lavalin for staying with us during these challenging times. Again, thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.
Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Je m'appelle Yann Bois.
Here
to recognize on behalf of the board and the shareholders the leadership that Gwynne has provided to us, and he says, he mentioned earlier, stepping down, and as he paid tribute to our other three colleagues, I wanted to pay tribute to him. I think he's done a terrific job. He's been a great leader to us as a board. As I mentioned in some remarks I made last night, he provided tremendous help to me as I was working my way through some of the issues we were working our way through last year. And Gwynne, I just want to wish you all the best going forward on behalf of my colleagues on the board. And as a proud shareholder, I'd like to say thanks very much for all the contributions you've made. Merci beaucoup.
Well, thank you, Ian. That wasn't in my script, by the way. but thank you very much. We've got a few minutes for the question period, and so I'm going to sit down and you can address the questions, and we'll decide whether Bob and I will answer them.
Ça va? Bonjour.
Hello. You'll allow me to ask the question in French. So, dear members of the board, Mr. President, Yvon Boivin, I am a shareholder. I am proud to be a shareholder, and with what I've heard, I think there's a lot of future. However, I have a few questions to ask you, important questions. We're wondering why the note 30 of the financial report does not talk about the pyrrhotite issue in Mauricie, doesn't deal with that. You know that currently in the Mauricie area, roughly in Tolga, more specifically, there are 1,200 families who are victims of pyrrhotite. It's an aggregate that was added into the concrete of the foundations, and which means we have to redo the foundations. It costs roughly $175,000 to repair the foundations. And, however, the courts now exposes that the SNC-Lavalin geologue, who used to work for Terratec, Mr. Alain Blanchette, have furnished advice that the rock coming from Bibi in Saint-Boniface represents a good granulate for concrete and could be used without risk to develop any reactions of the ether. However, that's not what happened. So they almost all of experts are in agreement that this undesirable aggregate deteriorates the concrete, and to our knowledge, this problem requires expensive repairs, roughly $175,000 per residence. In my case, it cost $430,000 to repair my house. It puts in peril the financial and psychological health of over 1,200 Quebec families. The families have lost the safety of their homes and the value of their main investment of their lives, their homes. So it is a financial risk, which is $200 million for SNC-Lavalin, and this without counting the millions spent, or which will be spent.
There are people that need to ask questions.
Considering this, we're convinced that SNC-Lavalin is part of the solution to allow these families in Mauricie to repair the foundations of their homes that are worth nothing anymore. So what the question is following: why not having put a reserve to this fact in the financial reports of taking into account this issue, and why do the directors of SNC-Lavalin do not mandate their lawyers to contribute to the quick and satisfying agreements for the damages suffered by the victims? We're convinced that an action of this sort will make our reputation better. You'll understand that we're Quebec families, and SNC-Lavalin is a Quebec company and a Quebec ship.
And I'd ask Bob Card to address it. Thank you.
Merci. Well, we certainly would empathize with anybody that was inconvenienced or financially or otherwise damaged by this issue. Unfortunately, we can't comment on it because it's in the middle of litigation. Thank you.
Other questions?
My name is Michel Gauthier. I'm a stockholder. I would like to know your activities in the services. Okay, have a very high profit margin, and I would like to know why you still take the risk of going into the construction part with the packages when it's much less profitable.
We've taken a hard look at the historical margins, the net margins that come out of both of those businesses. Services does have a higher margin, but it also carries a significantly higher SG&A to produce it. So when you look at the total outcome, if you deliver both of them well, they're both equally profitable. What we see strategically is our peer group, who does not offer construction, are all trying to figure out how to do it because the clients want an end-to-end solution. So we could not see any way that I could look at this group and say that we would be around 5 to 10 years from now if we didn't do that. So what we're committing to do is getting good at it, but we're not pursuing that work for its own effort. It's all part of an integrated package. And as you saw, that we are going to do our best to increase the services component of the enterprise.
One last question. It's about return on equity. It's going down sharply. We know why now. But I would like to know, what does it mean to you, for you as a president? Is it important still, even if it's not written anymore? And it's not considered as a key financial performance indicator. Is it still important for you?
There were other reasons for us not reporting on that. And last I look, I have a fair bit of equity, so it's really important to me personally.
Thank you.
Okay. Oui, bonjour. Norman Nadeau,
shareholder. I come to the General Assembly to get information to reassure myself, but I am not 100% reassured. So I have two questions. The first is not in regards to ethics, but the second will be. Mr. Card, I have a question to know what do you think of the decision of Hydro-Québec, which came out in the newspapers, and others in the attitude they have towards the sensitive and the possibilities to submit or make proposals, or bids, rather. Otherwise, you're disqualified for the next few years with Hydro-Québec for the next few years. What do you think of that?
I've been fortunate to have a great relationship with Thierry Vandal, and I've not been informed of the news that you have. So if it were be true, I'd want to talk to him about that. But I really just say on behalf of all of us, SNC-Lavalin deeply appreciates its strong historic relationship with Hydro-Québec. We essentially grew up together.
But it came out in the press, La Presse, on the first page in the newspaper this morning. I'll ask you to read it or take a look at it. It's in French, but on top you'll have to develop your French culture as well. But it came out this morning that Hydro-Québec will not deal over the next 5 years with SNC-Lavalin. But we can go to the next question if you wish. I'm not reassured on the question of ethics to know what you will do concretely. Will you elaborate these mechanisms? Because the president was saying before, the director was saying before, it was not easy to detect when there are a few people who commit fraud within a company. And that's what I registered anyways, if the translation was honest. I think people here, I don't think there's enough debate. I think it's unfortunately this type of company is the flower of Quebec, if you want. It's unfortunate that people don't give their point of view, and I'd like that other people would give their comments on this. It's just comments. It's also questions, just comments as well. We're here to reinforce this company, not to destroy it. But I find that there are questions that need to be debated. So on the ethical side, concretely, what will you do to detect if there is, as was said this morning, later, before, if there are people who falsify or commit fraud? What will we do to correct this situation?
Could I answer what I think your question is? My comments were that throughout the world in corporate governance and large corporations generally, there have been cases where people deliberately, as you say, commit fraud or in my words, falsify documents. These can be very difficult to detect by all kinds of systems, and certainly for boards of directors and sometimes senior management. That was my corporate governance philosophical comment in general. It applies to companies throughout the world and has been shown time and again. But I think that you heard today a very robust review by Bob Picard on all the things we're doing to prevent it from ever happening again, and that's what's important. The future is what's important to us, and Bob Picard and his team are onto it. Thank you. Other questioners?
I'm not reinsured, but
give people some time because we're running out of time here for questions. Thank you.
I just wanted to say one last thing, and I will not go too long. I'm not favorable to the possibility that the board may name other administrators. It's one-third of people nominated during the assembly, because members of the board are representative of the General Assembly, and the General Assembly named the members of the board. And I find that is a great, big error you've made this morning, and I'm completely against it. Thank you.
Oui, moi j'aurais... Yeah.
I'd have a question on the ethics aspect. So note 30 of the financial report says that there is a judicial action in Ontario. You speak of it clearly, and I think it's good. We have to know as shareholders what are the eventual debts that could have an impact on our shares, so we want them to have a good value. So I understand that you're ill at ease to speak of this because it's before the court, but I have to ask you as a shareholder, why is it that you do not indicate as an eventual passive, as it were, $200 million that SNC is currently in courts in Quebec? $200 million is a lot of money that the shareholders have to be aware of. It. When we're talking about ethics, it starts there. We have to tell people, what could we be sued for? There are companies, governments, institutions, public institutions, who are suing SNC-Lavalin in this file for over $200 million. So why is it not in the financial report? I think that would be the first ethical element that would be important to specify.
Baba, you may have a comment on this, Bob, but I'll take it here. There are various matters before the courts, and of course almost every major company in the world has matters before the courts. And a judgment is always made as to the likelihood of them being successful and so on, and companies don't take provisions just lightly. In our case, these matters are before the courts, and that's all at this time we can really say about them. Thank you. Next question.
I'd also like to ask Mr. Card, what your position regarding research, development, and demonstration activities in your plan for the longer term of the company. We're a technical company, but future technical developments are going to require a research, development, demonstration in this period of time. So do you have have you looked at this? Do you have a policy? I don't recommend doing research. That's too far back, but particularly development and demonstration seems to me to be activities which could be useful for the company to get in at the ground floor on future commercial projects. And then I would ask another little question. Is your nuclear group looking at thorium reactors, which apparently is the route chosen by India? And I'd just like to make a point about the article in La Presse. I wonder if the people who saw the headlines actually read the article. What it said was it was made perfectly clear in 2010 that SNC would have to choose between the project La Romaine and the project in Newfoundland. And the company got the project in Newfoundland, and Hydro-Quebec didn't want to divide resources. It's perfectly natural decision by Hydro-Quebec, and we will see who is running Hydro-Quebec in the next few months. There could be changes there, according to newspapers. And I found that at the end of that article in the press, they dragged up again ACTI and World Bank at the end of it, leaving the implication that there was anything in the article that what happened with Hydro-Quebec was a result of any the other difficulties that the company has had. And I found it sloppy journalism, to say the least. And I think you should make a protest on this point.
Thank you very much. In fact, I just want to say that we've been aware for a number of fairly significant length of time now of exactly what you said, that there was a choice made between whether we were going to do the project in Newfoundland or not. It's old news, and thank you for clarifying it. Bob and the rest of us have been up quite early this morning and haven't had a time to read the papers, I guess, Bob. But that's thank you. I'll ask Bob to answer the rest of your question.
R&D, I think we would view that on a case-by-case basis. As you saw from the presentation, we would want to be more leading on the technical edge of things, but we'd have to see the specifics around that. We do some of that in our can-do entity, which is a technology company, but I don't have without a specific reference, I don't have a way to answer that.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Hanson. I'm a shareholder. Mr. Carr, welcome to Canada. Let's look forward to the future. As part of that, I noticed you've moved two activities over to the UK, or you're strengthening them in the UK. I wonder, can you explain a little more how you hope to expand and what you want to derive from a greater European base?
Certainly. So I wouldn't call it a greater European base, but to be a global company, you can look at companies like IBM or Coca-Cola or others. What they do is they have a diverse pool of executive talent geographically, and they deploy them diversely geographically. So if as shareholders you're not seeing key talent placed outside of Canada and Montreal, you should be worried that the strategy isn't working. In the case of the London announcement, that announcement was not intended to imply a growth of resource in London. It was a base of executive talent. So it has no effect really on what we do here in Montreal or elsewhere in Canada.
My name is John, and I'm a shareholder of SNC. During your 7 months at SNC, you're to be congratulated along with your board for doing such a terrific job. But you lost me when you talked about ICI. What does ICI stand for?
It's our investment business. I have to say I've struggled a little bit with historic SNC Loveland terms myself. But it really is the business that represents our existing asset base, like AltaLink, 407, Astoria, others, and it's also the vehicle through which we make new investments in things like Ottawa.
Just going to say, Bob, that the actual acronym is Infrastructure Concession Investments. And it's sort of got to be the point where it's like, you know, you start talking about stuff and you forget what it really meant. But thanks for reminding us to say so. Yeah. So,
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. On your left.
Okay.
My name is Luc Vermette. I will speak in French. Sorry.
I am a shareholder of the company SNC-Lavalin for many years now, and I work in the engineering sector. With the events that we're living through this year, I'm quite reassured by the actions taken by the board and by the choice of Mr. Carr. And the history here in Quebec, SNC-Lavalin has brought us in Quebec as being a world leader in engineering thanks to SNC-Lavalin. And you should be a model for us to continue in this way. The rules that you're putting in place, it will take at least a year before having results, and that our customers will have confidence in us again, but I'm satisfied with your direction. So my question, we have worries nonetheless that SNC-Lavalin is here in Quebec and in Montreal. I'd like to know, like to hear without having an engagement, if we will keep the head office here in Montreal, maintain the head office here.
Merci. Premier, je suis désolé.
First of all,
French, rather than for you not speaking English, so thank you. I just emphasized from the last answer on the London question that we have no plans to do anything other than what's been historically common for us in Montreal. We've had tremendous growth. We have 5,000 employees here. I think it's up from 3,000 just a few years ago. So we're a critical part of the local economy, and we're proud of that.
So if there are no other questions, I must say that Bob and Ian especially have an engagement here that they can't miss right coming up very soon. So I'd like to thank you all for attending and for your participation in the meeting and for your confidence. Au revoir and bonne chance.